Hello and welcome to the Second Row Podcast. My name is Park Kelly. You'll find me everywhere on social media at the Second Row. That's 2ND, not the word second. And with me all the way from New Zealand to talk about the upcoming Ireland and New Zealand tour is my old mate, Oisin Collins, who I started this podcast with many, many, many years ago now at this stage.
Hello, it's good to be back, Park. How are you?
I am awake and want my cup of tea. So you tell people how you're doing in New Zealand and I can do that.
Yeah, all well. A little over a year now since I pulled the parachute and moved to New Zealand. I've been living in the Bay of Plenty, which is great. And yeah, it's the middle of winter here, which obviously means that I've been outdoors for most of the day in shorts and a t-shirt because they don't really have a climate here so much as they have. It's mostly warm all year round and then it gets very hot in the summer, which is the winter. The seasons thing is the one thing I still can't get right. I'm forever telling people things are in spring or winter incorrectly. But it is winter down here, which means it's rugby season, which means it's tour season. And yeah, pretty glad to be here chatting to you about a tour, but everybody's pretty psyched down here.
Well, it's great to have you. Like, it's great. Well, it's great to be talking to you. It's been a while to talk to you anyway. But it's like, it's great to have someone with a perspective who's living in New Zealand and kind of going, see those, their version of the Paddy Power ads of like the four lads, not from, Ireland.
Well,
not,
yeah.
You know, it's like, at least we can kind of mock them for their Paddy Powerness. And you're like, we have those guys too.
Yeah, I did. I did see your tweet during the week. The remove the stone of Welsh rugby Twitter. Attach the stone of New Zealand rugby Twitter. I thought that was pretty good. I got a chuckle at that one.
Yeah, I'm up with my Simpson meme game on Twitter big time these days. It's
has to be done. Has to be done, Park. I'm curious to know what the buzz is like back home. Are people excited? Is it something to look forward to after the kind of disappointing end to the knockout season?
It's really weird. I'd say if Leinster had won one of their two finals, I think a lot of people are looking into this.
One of their how many finals were Leinster in this year?
One final and semi-final, because you just assume they're in finals all the time. This is what happens. That's half the problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's more finals and semi-finals than Munster were in, so I'm not exactly sure why I'm pouring ridicule on myself. But
Or Connacht, for that matter.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But
hat tip to Ulster, who at least made a semi-final.
Well, I'd say this. Of all the provinces, supporters' bases could be genuinely disappointed they didn't win something. They needed to win something this year. But I think because Leinster's season finished with a bit of a whimper compared to normal, and that half the Irish squad is made up of Leinster players, you kind of look at this tour as a bit of like, actually, where are we at? Because, you know, one third of the starting team will definitely be Leinster.
At least a third. I mean, we know that from the teams that Farrell has picked all the way through his reign, including in the Six Nations. I think there's kind of two ways that I'd expect it to go. It'll either be, you know, the big redemption story, and this is a chance to prove that, no, we haven't been figured out. Yes, this game plan still works. Yes, it's still going to bring us the type of success we want. Or it's a really concerning sign, like a year out from a Rugby World Cup.
I'd rather have this blip now and not at the Six Nations, because that's where we had it last year at the last World Cup. It was that Six Nations before the World Cup were kind of playing. I can't believe we're saying the exact same things again about one of our scrum halves, but we're playing Conor Murray into form. At least Johnny Sexton's playing very well at the moment to kind of, you don't have any doubts of his ability to play. Whereas in the last World Cup, Ireland were playing him into form in an Irish jersey, not a Leinster jersey, which I thought the whole point of the provinces were, is to get guys that time of a high quality standard.
Well, look, I mean, I expect we'll have a bit of a chat about the squads and what kind of teams we're expecting to see for the first test at least. But I think I'd be pretty surprised to see Andy Farrell maybe showing the same loyalty that some of the Munster coaching team has shown in picking certain players, despite their pretty poor form of late. So it will be interesting to see what that looks like. But I think it does give, you know, there is just a good chance to pick who you actually think can put a performance together, pick units that'll play well together, pick players who are showing the right run of form at the right time.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the squad in general, it's kind of guys that can play Andy Farrell's game plan, not necessarily the guys that are the best in their province in that position at this very moment. And I think you kind of look, especially in the props for me, like Lochman would be the one that stands out there. I know it's injury and force, but across the provinces, I don't think he's the next cab off the rank. I don't think he's even a Munster.
He was a surprise pick for me. I mean, in a spot of 40, you're always going to have one or two names who come as a bit of a shock. And, you know, admittedly, I haven't been as close to players like Ian Prendergast coming up through Connacht, who I know has had an unbelievable season, but I just haven't seen any of his game footage. And other players who, you know, they're, it's funny when you've helpfully included the number of caps in our show notes, Boric, but I would have lost money if you'd asked me how many caps James Hume already has. I would have sworn he was a debutant, and I'm not sure when he got those three, presumably off the bench against Argentina in a warm-up game or Japan in a Rugby World Cup match. But he's somebody who, you know, is new in the squad. It'll be interesting to see if he gets game time, if he gets anywhere near the test side. But then, you know, you've got players like Kieran Frawley and Jeremy Lockman who are going to be on tackle bag duty for the next couple of weeks. And, you know, that's an important part of the squad, right?
But Lockman's playing against the Maoris. There's no way you can risk both Porter and Healy playing against the Maoris.
I think he'll be on the bench. If we're in a world where Jeremy Lockman is starting an international game of rugby for Ireland, then our squad depth isn't even as deep as I thought it might be.
Like, for me, I'll just go, and I'm not picking on Lockman. Like, I thought Witchie was ahead of him. I thought even Matty Burke in Connacht, who had a season where Dennis Buckley got injured, everyone kind of went, uh-oh, Matty Burke comes in.
He's done very good at being the best not able to play international rugby player in the Pro 14 and the URC for a long time now.
But that ability to lock out a scrum at the bare minimum and then add on what Connacht do as a game plan, which kind of suits Ireland, Matty Burke has done that, like, stepped up big time in that regard. So there's two guys I thought, if you're taking a punt, there are two younger guys you could have taken that punt on.
I would tend to agree. Pleased to see Tom O'Toole in the squad. I think he's someone who we've talked about, you know, even back when we were doing the podcast, as having great potential. I would have liked to see Alec O'Sullivan, who's obviously going to come up through that age grade with him at Ulster, be the other game, the person they took a punt on if it was me. I'm not sure if he's fit. I hope he is. But if not, he would have been the next cab off the rank. I thought, looking at the depth of back row squads, you know, Nick Timoney's kind of there to reward the form that he's had and the really, you know, dominant displays he's had. But as part of a back row with Marcel Kutsia in it, which, you know, it's hard not to be dominant in that kind of a back row.
It does help when you've got someone giving you that type of go forward. If I look at the makeup of our pack in general, and if you look at where Leinster failed towards the latter end of the season, there's no out and out, apart from Peter Mahoney and Tadhg Byrne, Groundhogs. And our pack is really not well balanced enough at international level. So, and if you're looking at the Leinster game plan and that Leinster foundation, where they came up is not being able to get the ball back and having people who can really go for the ball on the ground. We are missing that.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see what the selection is, because I think the incumbents are probably at all Leinster back row, which is one of Jack Conan or Caelan Barris out of position at 6 and the other one at 8, and Josh van der Fleer at 7, who's one of the first names on the team sheet.
And did you know he's worked on his carrying? Like, have you heard this?
Listen, I mean, since his early days on the High Veld, he's always been able to carry, but he's just stepped it up in a big way recently.
With like a mixture of van der Fleer and say Doris at 8, I think you have room then to put on Mahoney at 6, because those guys will do that heavy carrying for you. And you need someone like O'Mahony who kind of just do that groundhog work, who you can let float in defense and go find those opportunities on the ball.
So the O'Mahony gamble is going to be a big one, because it's whether he gives you enough in defense and enough in the line out to offset the fact that he's not a particularly effective ball carrier and he's not a particularly dominant tackler. He's an unbelievable cover tackler and he covers space really well and his game awareness is excellent, but he's not going to put the type of hits on that big All Blacks pack and the big All Blacks centers that you need. So I think Peter O'Mahony will, we line it out in Jersey 20.
It comes back to, like, when I've always had this issue with Ireland as like the break glass in case of emergency plan B, and having someone like Peter O'Mahony can kind of change up how you're defending and how you're looking to get the ball back can change the picture of a game very quickly. Because he comes on, especially the last season or two, and he's come off the bench. He's come on with like that, the biggest of chips on his shoulder to prove everyone wrong.
Yeah. Well, that, and he's, if you're putting his engine up against people from minute one, I don't know that it's still there. Like you'll never lack for heart, right? But if he's going to go out there and create dominance in the tackle position and get lazy forwards from the other side who are tired, who aren't presenting the ball well, who aren't kind of looking at their numbers when they go into contact, you're going to get much more opportunity in the last 10 minutes. And I think it's likely that we'll see Tadhg Byrne starting for Ireland. I think his recent form for Ireland is just undeniable. You know, it gives you the option of bringing O'Mahony on when Tadhg Byrne comes off. If Tadhg Byrne's emptied the tank for 60 minutes, that you don't lose your ability to still contest at the breakdown.
Well, it depends on fitness of Tadhg Byrne for the first test anyway. I know he's in the squad, but he hasn't played in the last month to 2 months really at this stage. Like Ian Henderson was playing really well for Ulster right up until the semi-final. James Ryan's been doing James Ryan-y bits. Joe McCarthy has shown well for the glimpses at Leinster. And I think his big problem is the Leinster coaching team don't seem to trust their bench full stop.
I can see Ryan and McCarthy starting against the All Blacks, the Maori All Blacks. Sorry. And whichever of them demonstrates the most can come on the bench. Because the other side of it is Ryan Baird, although he's definitely flipped into being much more of a back row player this season, you know, he played a lot of rugby in second row prior to that.
Well, both Cian Prendergast and Ryan Baird there are as 4-6s. They're both back rows who can do you a job in the second row if required.
Mark, I'm having a look. That's about as much as I know about forwards to talk about. And I skimmed my eye down to the backs. I've just realised, and perhaps this just didn't because I was too focused on the centres and on the halfbacks. We've brought Jordan Larmour and Mike Lowry on tour to New Zealand.
Yes.
And is there a limbo competition I'm not aware of?
Well, if you look at the fact that Andrew Conway's injured, Stockdale's injured, and Ballacoon are injured, you can suddenly kind of go, well, that's Jimmy O'Brien's spot gone. That's possibly Jordan Larmour's spot gone, and that's possibly Michael Lowry's spot gone.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I'd have rather have had two extra back row players. Like, Jordan Larmour is no longer a up-and-coming prospect, and he's still not good enough to play international rugby. And Mike Lowry is doing his level best for many seasons to prove the point that rugby is not a game for all shapes and sizes because he's just too little.
Mike Lowry being there and Kieran Frawley being there are issues at 10. Because of those Maori games, we have a 12-13 in Frawley who can do a job at 10, who has started one game there at 10, just so anyone who's ever listened to any other podcast who's thought like, Kieran Frawley's at 10, he's had one start. One. Mike Lowry's had one start at 10, but these are guys who, on the other side of the world...
It's the Stuart Hogg Lions gambit.
Yeah. If there's an injury, we can put these guys in at 10 or in the 22 jersey if required.
That's a good point. Can we call up Tom Court again?
No. And from stalking everybody's Instagram account, they are all on holidays. These guys are all in Ibiza or the States, or they're having a good time for themselves.
Look, I fair play. They deserve it. It's been a long season. I think we've got... We're missing a lot of players there. I mean, you'd argue Ballacoon is potentially ready to start against at least the Maori game and potentially one of the tests given his form this year and given that kind of big physical operator, good in the air that he offers. Back three is more of a weakness than it should be for our capability right now.
Yeah, and you're kind of like talk about Ballacoon, like with Conway missing, that kind of, for want of a better term, nuts and bolts winger, good runner, good under the high ball. We're missing that, and Keith Earls is our only person whose natural skill set leans that way.
Yeah, I think it's actually quite hard to not pick Keith Earls when you look at who else we have available. I mean, Hugo Keenan is a nailed-on starter, and then it's Earls and one of Mac Hansen or James Lowe, really, for the first test, unless injuries or something else is happening in training.
I'd be very surprised if it's not Keith Earls, Hugo Keenan, and one other for that back three. I think in an iron jersey, they're trying to groom Mac Hansen to be that kind of that type of player. But I don't think it suits him. I think that having two wingers that can kind of roam will add to our inability to create huge go forward ball up front. But the problem is, I don't think that's an issue against New Zealand. That's not the team that will cause us that problem.
No, I don't think so. You need him to do his job and be solid positionally and then see what happens after that.
Yeah, because like the teams that have caused us the most amount of problems over the last couple of years are the ones with big, big, big packs who want to play a game where big packs just run and rumble and rumble and rumble, and that's not New Zealand's game.
If we talk a bit about that pack with New Zealand, there's a couple of very settled performers in there. You know, you've got three locks of Whitelock, Ritalik and Scott Barrett. You've got multiple Rugby World Cups under their belt, and you know, I'd expect to see two of the three of them starting. But then you've got some pretty, you know, dynamic players coming through who are new to the international setup and certainly won't have faced Ireland before. Tupavai from the Chiefs is a great player. He's got wonderful athleticism. You've got Dalton Papali'i, who's got some All Blacks caps under his belt, but you know, he's played number seven normally behind Sam Kane. I think he's going to create an interesting position. You've arguably got Papali'i as the forum player at seven, but then Sam Kane is your captain. And then at number eight, Artie Savea is just a ridiculous physical creature, but Hoskins Satutu is one of the most skillful number eights I've seen play the game. He's like a double with Kieran Reid. It's ridiculous. He's awesome. He's got such good hands. And I just think that the All Blacks are going to scheme a way to get three of those four guys into the back row, even if it means playing somebody out of position, because they just bring too much to not do that. So we might see a bit of the old Artie Savea back at six thing, and he's just out there and his mission is to go smash lads. And if he has the ball, he smashes lads as well.
And what's the kind of the feel in New Zealand about the makeup of that squad? There's a few new caps there, a new cap in the halfbacks. They clearly are having an eye on this test of bringing in players with an eye on the World Cup.
Obviously, it's just kind of post Super Rugby season down here, and you know, there's a number of the players who would have been named in that side from the Blues who had just absolutely dominated Super Rugby right up until the semi-final, where they scraped past the Brumbies, and then the final where they got absolutely hammered by the Crusaders. So it's interesting that, you know, the likes of Finlay Christie, for example, at halfback, who has a couple of caps just so the Scots couldn't get a hold of him, has been playing unbelievable rugby this year. And Aaron Smith is playing like the toilet he got caught in. You know, Folau Fakatava having come in, he's Aaron Smith's understudy at the Highlanders, and he's been trusted to come in and change games for them when Aaron Smith is trying to do Aaron Smith things that aren't happening anymore. I think it could be really interesting to see an All Black squad named with Smith in it, where he doesn't get anywhere near the team, let alone the starting lineup. Stephen Perifetta for the Blues has been playing. He's kind of mixed around the back line a bit. I think he's played a little at first centre and at full back, with Bowden Barrett mostly playing the game time at 10. Really interesting player, but he's kind of there because they need a third player who can play 10, but he's a bit of a flexibility rather than anything else. And yeah, as you said, there's kind of more new caps than you might expect to see, even within the midfielders and the backs. And Aidan Ross, who plays his rugby out of Tauranga, he's part of the Bay of Plenty team. Getting called up to the squad is great. It's good to see that there's still a conveyor belt bringing through players, even though, you know, Tuanga Fassi and Tuina Kuafe have been there for years. It's been a bit understated. I don't think anybody's really ramped up for it yet, Mark. Like, they're all still dealing with the hangover of the Super Rugby final like a week ago. Like, 2 weeks from the Super Rugby final to the first Irish test game is a pretty quick turnaround.
There's been too much rugby this year. Like, it's all just a bit congested, and it's just a bit mental, and that's just too much rugby. One of the names I've heard a lot of anyway up here is Lester Fanganuku. This guy is a guy that the All Blacks will build their backline around, because he's just powerful and really, really powerful.
Do you want to have another try pronouncing that there?
Fanganuku.
So the trick with the Maori names is, if you see an NG, that's the start of a new syllable. So it's Fainga-anuku. So Fainga-anuku.
Fainga-anuku.
Fainga-nga.
Never mind. In the morning, you're in the evening. Let's get this straight.
And I've been living here for a little over a year, so at least I've got some of my pronunciation a little bit better. There was some chuckling as I tried to sing the national anthem at the... at the Bledisloe Cup game last year because my pronunciation of the Maori version was so chronic. The All Blacks are spoiled for players in the back row, particularly from power players, actually. You'd argue that Jordy Barrett is going to start at fullback. I think he's probably got a bit of an edge at the moment over Will Jordan, even though Will Jordan just does insane things all of the time. His flexibility could be a disadvantage because you can put him on the bench and he can cover fullback or wing for you. Sebi Rhys is continuing to finish at an impressive rate, and I think he'll be, you know, they didn't call up Shannon Frizzell, so they've got to have at least one scumbag in the starting 15. So expect to see Sebi Rhys on the starting lineup. And then I think it probably is Faiyenga Nuku who will come into that starting berth, although Caleb Clark for the Blues offers something very similar. Again, he's another power winger. He's another player who is absolutely dominant at the contact point, but, you know, potentially doesn't have the same kind of coverage of the backfield, which is the one area where the All Blacks have kind of shown maybe some cracks in the armour, that if you can kick in behind them and turn them and put them under pressure and make them play from their own 22, you've got some kind of a hope. But yeah, I mean, it's a team that's built to play possession. And if they can get a platform, the risk is whether they go with Beauden Barrett or Richie Mwanga at 10, both of those two guys are capable of unlocking almost every defence in the world.
It's very much a team that I don't think we want to kick a lot to. We don't want a broken game. We don't want to just let them spot gaps from a mile away and just attack.
Well, you want to kick to grass, right? You don't want to be kicking this into anybody's hands and letting them play the field. You want to be kicking behind players or putting it into the middle of the field. They're too dangerous at the edge. They're too dangerous with ball in hand. So I think kicking for grass is what I would be looking to do if we run out of options. And, you know, I was watching back some of the coverage and some of the analysis of the Leinster games in the knockout round of the season. You know, Jameson Gibson-Park has got a good eye for where to knock the ball over the kind of top of the chasing line. You kind of see it occasionally if we win a contestable kick or if we manage to get scrappy ball, we'll kick it away quite quickly. And if the chase is good and if we're able to hold a line, there's promise there.
Leinster in general kicked more than any other team and they kicked long. So they relied on their fitness and they were forcing teams to play or exit their own 22. And by not having that kind of groundhog type of player of not trying to win the ball back, they're like, Grant, you have the ball. We're going to line up across the pitch, 15 guys, and you kick it back. And we go from our 22 to the halfway line in two kicks. And that's kind of what they want. And you build off the set piece from there.
One thing that will be interesting is, and you know, not just interpretation of the tackle laws and the breakdown laws, which I know is going to be huge, right? Because Ireland are a team that kind of needs a bit of favours from the ref in that regard. But stuff like the 50-22 has been hugely utilised in Super Rugby. You actually see an awful lot more of it. You see a lot more of that kicking as an attacking weapon, trying to win possession back. I haven't seen as much of that in the URC or in the Heineken Cup. I don't know if that's just the games that I've seen.
I don't think many of the URC or Heineken Cup teams have proper kicking 12s. I noticed before the 52-20 came in, the New Zealand teams like to run to kick. So they won't kick off 10. They'll go out the 10, they'll feed the 12, bring up that outside winger and then kick through. They'll create the space in the backfield before they kick.
Yeah.
We're still a year or two behind that in the Northern Hemisphere. We haven't realized that you need a kicking option at 10 or 15 to come in for those 50-22 kicks to attack that kicking space.
I think that's what you've got. Both Rico Ioane's improved his kicking game significantly and Jordy Barrett is a weapon in that regard. So I think that's something we'll have to be wary of. You know, you talk about that kind of solid defensive line, 15 men across the pitch. You're going to need at least two of them to be sat back behind the attacking line or there could be problems.
But the thing is, Hugo Keenan has that annoying ability that Rob Kearney did of always seeming to be where the ball is.
And annoying ability is your Connacht fan slipping through, I take it.
No, anyone who's ever watched him, if you ever watched Rob Kearney was playing, and you have to say with Keenan, they're always walking onto the ball.
Yep.
They're never running. And it's an incredible ability just to be where the ball is going to be.
Yeah, they've got great anticipation and it's one of kind of Hugo Keenan's best advantages as a back three player. He kind of you don't need three players running in a pendulum. You can get away with 1.5 to 2 and they can cover an awful lot of ground because it's just got good anticipation.
And he's good under the high ball. Like out of all the back three players Ireland have on the in the squad, he is the safest pair of hands.
He is. The one thing that makes it trickier is, and you see this with when you're playing against a 10 who can and does take the ball to the line, it kind of screws with that ability a little bit because when you're looking at a player like Richie Mwangi, he could be dropped 15 meters back and he could be running a play, like whether that's running a pass or coming back against the grain, you don't kind of know that he's going to kick. So it's just one less signal the guys have to read, which may cause them some challenges.
Well, this is the whole thing. I'd rather learn these lessons now in a test, in a 3-test window, than in the World Cup next year. Before we move on to the Maori game and talk about the 3 tests, we had 2 questions sent in. I did a shout out. I've got a few questions sent in. First one's from Harry Lynch. He goes, the thoughts on O'Donoghue being left out of the squad?
It's not a, geez, you have to wonder what Jack has to do to get called up. I think Jack O'Donoghue is one of those players that has had a wonderful season and offered a lot. And, you know, it's interesting. He strikes me as someone who's going to be a mainstay of that Munster squad for a number of years in the same way that Billy Holland was, but potentially has a higher ceiling than Billy and offers great flexibility. I just think that he doesn't play better in any one position than the guys that they've brought, the likes of Jack Conan, Gavin Coombs, Peter O'Mahony, and they don't want him in the people I need to see more at this level bucket, you know, like Ryan Baird or Keane Prendergast. There's not a ton more they could learn. Having said that, a couple more injuries happen. I could see Jack O'Donoghue back in an Ireland squad for the Six Nations or for the November Internationals. But I just don't think he's either good enough to be the first name in the team sheet right now versus some of the other players or someone they need to learn more about within the Ireland setup.
Yeah, there's very much a vibe of O'Donoghue, meet Ross Maloney, meet Leo Cullen, meet Billy Holland. It's that level of you are the next cab off the rank. If those guys all get injured, you're not in the Irish, like, and if you take that next step and become a better all-around player than you are right now, not just performing very well, then it's a different conversation.
I think until you're absolutely nailed on starting for your province in big Heineken Cup knockout games, it's hard to make the case for why you should be knocking on the door of the Ireland squad. And I don't think Jack O'Donoghue is there with everybody else fully fit in Munster at the moment. Yeah. And that's not to take anything away from the season he's had. He's had a massive season.
Actually, the person who asked me the next question, I had this conversation with him with a couple of months ago. Where does Jack O'Donoghue start if everyone's fit for Munster? I'm like, on the bench, because your starting back line is Peter O'Mahony, Gavin Coombs, and Josh Hodnett next season. Hodnett or another at 7.
I have Hodnett taking O'Mahony's place at 7 and Tyke Byrne starting at 6 for those big games. But I probably always have Jack O'Donoghue on the bench until Alex Kendallen takes his place, you know. It's a competitive position. And yeah, I think Jack O'Donoghue can feel not necessarily hard done by, but disappointed. He's more than good enough to be there. He's more than good enough to play the games, but just was surplus to requirements on this one. I definitely have him on the squad before I bring Mike Larry.
And actually, if the squad was 42, I think Jack O'Donoghue's the next name there, and there's another back somewhere. I think I was surprised it was only 40. I think 2 extra players, what's 2 extra players? I think it gives you a bit more flexibility with those Maori games of what you can do and how many guys you actually really have to play.
Interesting. I think that's a little bit of World Cup conditioning testing from the Irish coaching panel. I think it's really clever. They're not going to get an opportunity to play this many competitive games this close together again this side of the World Cup. So there's a sensible element of practice using a small squad there for me.
Yeah, no, I understand completely. And like, if you look at the makeup of those kind of outside the guaranteed starters, there are guys who are ambi-positionable, like Ryan Baird and Keane Prendergast can play 2 positions. Yep. Guys who can play across the back line. Out and out sevens is Ireland's big problem, if you're being honest. You know, that kind of Nick Timoney and Van der Fleer are 2 sevens. And that would be a worry alongside like props off our
defense. I was going to say, props continues to be the thing that keeps me up at night looking at a Rugby World Cup.
Yeah, that's going to be it's an issue. And I don't think anyone following Irish rugby can say it's not an issue. I think
it's not the only issue though, because if you look at the squad, we're a couple of key injuries still, and this has been the repeat criticism, we're a couple of key injuries away from the game plan falling apart. And you know, if Johnny Sexton goes down, then we've got a massive problem, because I'm not sure who comes next.
And that leads into our next question from Jason Finwall, who goes, should Harry Byrne start one of the tests? And I know Jason, he's a good friend of mine. I went, short answer is no, if I'm being perfectly honest.
I think right now Tyke Furlong has more chance of starting at 10 if Johnny Sexton is injured than Harry Byrne does, because Tyke Furlong can do everything.
Like, he's a talented player, but he's had 4 starts at 10 this year for Leinster. He's there to be in the setup and with the hope that he takes over from Ross next year.
So if Johnny Sexton is injured and we lose the first 2 tests, you could see Harry Byrne start the 3rd test.
Joey Carberry starts the 3rd test.
You could see Harry Byrne start the 3rd test. Seriously, Joey Carberry's played like a drain for the second half of this season. I'm not even convinced he's the best 10 in his club now, let alone in the international setup. He's there because he's got enough air miles logged. He's got great potential, but he's playing really poorly and he's bringing the players around him down.
Question for you, because I'm not going to answer this question because I am biased. If Jack Carty wasn't getting wrist surgery, what one of the 3 tens that's not Johnny Sexton doesn't go?
If there's a real developmental focus, Joey Carberry doesn't go. But if you want to give Harry Byrne, if you think he's the real deal, which I don't know if I do, but I don't see any other people popping their hand up, you bring him for the experience and the exposure in the hope that you unlock some new level of capability or learning. And Jack Carty takes Joey Carberry's spot. He's certainly a more reliable starting 10 right now.
And like a lot of people give out about his kicking stats. His stats in the sports ground are 15% worse than he is in any other stadium.
Like, everybody's stats in the sports ground are 15 or worse. I mean,
but the thing is, everyone kind of goes, look at this kicking.
Welcome to living in a wind tunnel on the side of the cliffs of Moher. Come on.
Yeah, but it's just the stick that is used to beat him with is like, but the stats prove he is good at kicking. And he's good at clutch kicks as well, which is the important one.
That's right. He's the only player playing 50% of his rugby on the side of a mountain. Like, you know, I've been to many games in the sports ground, and it's raining sideways could have been filmed there.
It just animated afterwards.
I think it's unlikely. Certainly if Johnny Sexton is fit, then no, Harry Byrne doesn't get anywhere near the test side. He'll get minutes against the Maoris. He may even start one of those games, but
he'll start the second one if you're looking at keeping Carberry away from injury for the 3rd test.
That I'm actually not sure about, because when you come into the Maori games and you come into the other games, one thing that Andy Farrell's demonstrated is a good appreciation for the benefit of partnerships and kind of known combinations. So Jameson Gibson-Park is going to start all 3 tests if he's fit. Do you want someone that Craig Casey or Conor Murray is familiar playing with against the Maori team?
That's fair. That's a fair point to make. Like, you know, and like the Maoris aren't slouches. These are good players.
No, absolutely. Like littered through that team are All Blacks and All Black quality players, you know. Sean Stevenson has played multiple tests for the Maori All Blacks. He's an unbelievable player. Zaren Sullivan, 12 months ago, they were talking about him being the next great Will Jordan-esque All Black 15. And that's before you get to like TJ Perenara, who will kill you. Like, he'll just kill you dead. And now he's got a point to prove because he's been dropped out of the All Black squad for, geez, one of the first times I've ever seen. So he's going to be going out. I think he'll probably captain the side. It's not just the backs. Like, Terrell Lomax for the Hurricanes is an unbelievable prop. Like, he will give Jeremy Lockman an absolute schooling at the scrum, I expect. Reid Princep, Billy Harmon, and Tikamaka Howden are all players who were looked at as these guys could or couldn't make the All Blacks, you know. So it's a serious side, and it's a big physical side. And, you know, I think it is going to be interesting to see if it's kind of like the midweek games in the Lions Tour, where there's a kind of a dual emphasis in performing, but also putting a hurt on the guys playing opposite you to take some options off the bench for the Irish touring side.
So you're picking the Irish starting 15 for the first Maori game.
Yeah.
Do you go full strength or do you mix it up?
Oh, so
3 days before a test.
So you can't go full strength, right? As in, you can't, I think there'll be very few, if any, of the starting 15 lining up, and any of the ones that are will be off at halftime. But that's kind of why it's going to be so interesting. I think bench players for the first test could start. So I think what you'll end up seeing is shared minutes between Finlay Beelam and Tom O'Toole, shared minutes between Keane Healy and Jeremy Lochman, shared minutes between Dave Heffernan and Rob Herring.
I think with an eye to the test, the starting front row is Finlay, Herring and Healy, and then the other three coming on at halftime or at 50 minutes. I see Byrne starting just to see where he's at fitness-wise with an eye on the first test. And then it depends on who's with him then in the row.
Whereas I think Joe McCarthy is going to start, and I think he needs someone with ballast beside him. So I think it's going to be James Ryan or Kieran Treadwell and Joe McCarthy.
You do know Joe McCarthy is the ballast in that relationship with James Ryan?
No, I don't. I don't know enough about young Joe McCarthy. But
Joe McCarthy is the saviour of Leinster rugby, of the ballast that ballast that James Ryan isn't giving.
He doesn't want to be putting on. Okay, cool. Yeah.
So Joe McCarthy is there as the great white hope of the tight headlock of Irish. You know, that's kind of not why he's there. He's clearly got the physical attributes to play there, and he's played well for Leinster this season. It's a shame that he wasn't given more minutes for Leinster in those big games, like 4 minutes against La Rochelle, 5 minutes against the Bulls, or vice versa.
I'm forgiven for not having seen a lot of his rugby then.
Yeah, unless you have a URC TV subscription down New Zealand, you wouldn't have seen a lot of him. Or when he did play in the Champions Cup, you wouldn't have seen a lot of him anyway.
Okay. Gun to your head, who's starting at nine?
Casey.
Hmm. Casey and Byrne, is that kind of you thinking back the youth 100%?
I would, for the first Maori game, it's Casey and Carberry and Byrne on the bench, and Sexton gets wrapped up in Cottonwood. And you have Conor Murray on the bench for that case as well, because I think having someone like Conor Murray come on with Harry Byrne takes a lot of pressure off him if you bring them on together. But then again, like, here comes the cynic in me of, like, any halfback that we have that, like, oh, this guy might be worth something, only gets token minutes in any occasion. So you'd hope that the Maori games give them at least 30 minutes off game time.
I hope so. For me, I think Craig Casey is good enough to play himself into the test side by the end of, into the test side, the starting 15 by the end of the tour. I think he will play himself onto the bench by the end of the tour. I'll be disappointed if he doesn't. And interestingly, I think probably the only other player with the potential to break into the team is Gavin Coombs, because when he is fit and firing, I think he is as good an operator as any of the other back rows who've travelled.
I am going to cause... this is controversial. I think James Hume starts a test at some point across the 3 weeks. If Ireland once again don't bottle a player when they've got lightning running coursing through their veins, it's a waste opportunity. He is the best 13
currently. He's the form centre in the country. He's the form centre in the country, yeah. And, you know, I think Bundiaki is likely to start against the Maori All Blacks, because I just think he offers a lot of security outside. He's a better safety valve than Robbie Henshaw. Robbie Henshaw, I think, probably has a higher ceiling than Bundy as a 12 at the moment.
I think what we're seeing, and especially with how Leinster have gone out and recruited for next season, is that something that Connacht fans have been saying for years is Robbie Henshaw's a better 13 than he is a 12 is coming to light, you know, more and more year on year. Like, Bundiaki is Ireland's 12. I think he will play for the Maori. He won't start the first test, but then I think he starts the second.
You reckon he'll be back in the squad by the second game?
Yeah. That's not because of anything Robbie will do or won't do. It's just more the effectiveness in the position. I don't think Robbie's a bad player. I think Robbie's a better 13 than Gary Ringrose, but I think you have to play James Hume in one of the tests. We have four incredibly good centres ready to start at international level. And like, Kieran Frawley has the ability to be...
Kieran Frawley is also there, Harshberg.
But he has that ability, like, by watching him, he has the ability to be that kind of more... If you want to put Bundy at 13, you can put Kieran Frawley at 12. He's that type of player, that more...
He's the only kind of second 5'8 additional distributor at first center player, like kind of the Rory Scannell played that position for Munster for years. I don't think
that works with anyone outside him. That's not Bundiaki.
Interesting.
Because like he isn't a destructive runner, or even Robbie Hendra actually, because he has that ability to break tackles more. But that way it lets you go with a more Keith Earls, Hugo Keenan, and Mac Hansen / James Lowe back three.
Yeah, it's a safer option, I think, for a test than pulling Mike Lowry into the team instead of Hugo Keenan to have a second ball handler in your back line. Kieran Foley is a better option than that. I just don't think he's a better option than
what's there.
I mean, I think Aki and James Hume is a decent shout by test two. We'll have to see. I think it's going to be interesting how the series, I think it's going to be interesting how the series goes, because that first game against the Maoris, which is literally will have kicked off in kind of 4 days' time, which is really exciting. So I'm going with some of the gang from work, which would be really good. And then with the first test taking place a couple of days later, it's in Eden Park, which is such a fortress.
There's a large portion of whoever starts or is picked in that 23 isn't playing the first test. And you have to read into that to some degree of where the match is going. It won't happen, but I would love to see a Prendergast, Coombs, Timoney back row. I'd love to see it. It'd be incredible. It'd be fun.
I don't think it's going to be far off that. I think we're likely to see Baird rather than Prendergast. He's just got a little bit more experience. And then the question will be, depending on how the selection goes, I don't know whether you'll see Conan in that kind of midweek squad as a potential kind of captain of that team. But yeah, it would be nice to see youth backed top to bottom. But I just think that could set a really problematic tone for the test if they get absolutely pumped.
Yeah, I think like we'll move on to like the three test matches. And like, first off, what's a good result for Ireland overall? In three, 4 weeks' time, we're back here talking about these tests. What are we saying is a good result?
Well, is it out of three or is it out of five?
Out of three.
So I can tell you what the All Blacks would consider a good result.
A whitewash.
Well, yeah. But I think the All Blacks will take a test win as a result. It's a test series win, rather. Sorry, so two games. They have been banana skinned by the likes of the Australians and the South Africans and even the Argentinian team in recent years. Losing one game to Ireland, who are another kind of top five team in the world, won't be seen as a disgrace. Losing the test series will be seen as a disgrace.
So this is, for me personally, a good result for Ireland overall is a test win. First test win in New Zealand. I'd say a Maori win, one of the two. And my third caveat, no more than 100 minutes for Johnny Sexton.
I thought you were going to say no more than 100 points of a margin overall.
No, Johnny Sexton can't play more than 100 minutes. He has to be managed to some degree, because there's got to be...
If Johnny Sexton plays less than 100 minutes, we've lost all three tests, Boric.
If Johnny Sexton plays 60 and we win that test, I would put him on the bench for the next two.
Oh. Oh my God. Okay. I'm
fed up of these discussions going into every Six Nations of.
Who's your starting 10 in France 23?
Johnny Sexton. But we know it. What is losing two matches and Johnny Sexton getting injured, or losing two matches with Johnny Sexton starting, actually going to achieve with once we've won one? What are we learning for the World Cup? What are we learning for the next Six Nations? Where are we planning ahead? When are we eventually going to actually plan ahead and give proper minutes to our next 10 off the rank? That's the problem. It's not the fact that Johnny Sexton isn't there.
November.
But November is about beating South, but November is about beating South Africa ahead of the World Cup. There's always a reason we have to start Johnny Sexton.
Yeah.
There's a reason Parinara is playing for the Maori, because they're like, we'll give our fourth choice this time in this series and we'll bring him Parinara to the World Cup. They know he's going to the World Cup.
Mm.
And here's like, I know Johnny Sexton's going to the next World Cup. Johnny Sexton gets injured minute one of the World Cup. What backlog of matches does the next 10 have? None.
But sure, we already know that Jack Carty is going to be the backup of the next Rugby World Cup, right?
Jack Carty won't go unless he has another blinding season. Like, Jack Carty has to continuously prove himself, where for some reason no other 10 does. Well, Carby doesn't anyway.
So let's bring it back. I think for me, one test win from Ireland and two close losses would be an acceptable result. I think it wouldn't be a good result. I think it would be an acceptable result. I think two wins is a good result for Ireland.
Two wins would be exceptional, given the fact we've never won in New Zealand.
It would be unbelievable, but you know, you look at the New Zealand squad, which we've talked about. It's not like it's a weak squad, and there's been talk of it's rebuilding. There's weakness there, and there's weakness there from a coaching position. I mean, part of the reason that I think that New Zealand would riot if they lost the Test series is they're 12 months, a little bit over 12 months away from Rugby World Cup with a coach who has a decent win percentage, except when it matters, right? Like Ian Foster is the Johan van Graan of international rugby. He can win until it's important.
So, all right, if New Zealand lost the Test series, who's the break glass in case of emergency coach? Is it Scott Robertson?
I don't see how it's not. The guy has just won another Super Rugby title, and there's no other club coach who looks as ready to take on an international role. New Zealand's, the All Blacks are an interesting team in that it's almost become an unwritten law that you can't be the head coach of the All Blacks unless you've been the assistant coach of the All Blacks. Bit like the Sith in Star Wars, you have to be the apprentice before you become the master. But there is a lot of dissatisfaction, you know, just amongst rugby heads who I kind of chat with about Ian Foster. My kind of view of him as being not up to it at the top level is by no means unique. And Scott Robertson is pretty universally respected. That team, that Crusaders team, has unbelievable bottle. Like, they are winners. They are knockout winners. And that's what the All Blacks need to be.
Yeah, no, I get that completely. I was there. I have to be facetious going, well, Joe Schmidt is in the coaching setup for New Zealand.
Yep, he's part of the selectors. And I wouldn't be totally amazed that might be an easier pill for the New Zealand Rugby Union to swallow than bringing in a club coach.
Yeah, especially one who's who has coached at international level.
I just think that proceeding without some sort of a change to the management if New Zealand lose the Test series is untenable.
There's more pressure on New Zealand than there is on Ireland over there at the moment on this test.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For Ireland, as Andy Farrell himself has said, this is the start of the World Cup journey. Whereas, like, you know, England have been quite open 2 years ago with the start of their World Cup journey. Like, no one knows what they're going to be doing. No one knows how they're playing rugby, and no one's going to know this time next year how they're playing rugby, the way things are going.
That happens as long as you keep picking Marcus Smith at 10. He doesn't know what he's going to do 4 seconds before he does it.
I think it will stand to England come the World Cup, the fact that Owen Farrell and Ford were injured last Six Nations, and he got a full Six Nations at 10 around the English pack.
You know, if Johnny Sexton, you know, falls into a puddle and catches arthritis because he's so damn old and they've got to start somebody else for all three tests, it will be great experience for them. And it will be, you know, whether that is Harry Byrne or whether it is Joey Carberry, it will be beneficial.
Whether it is Joey Carberry or whether it is Joey Carberry.
Either way, the point is you've got to make sure that people are getting meaningful minutes. It's a little bit different to what you see at a club level, where, you know, different clubs are better at promoting the form player and dropping the old hat. In international rugby, you nearly have to be ahead of that. You nearly have to be blooding your backup while you know the other guy is still your number one pick.
Yeah.
Because you just have to have bigger squads and more depth and more answers. And you have to enable those teams to play in combination. Like, part of the reason that Harry Byrne is a really bad option to play a test is that he's never played with half of the players on that team, even the Leinster players, because it's the full Heineken Cup guys who are wrapped in cotton wool. He won't have a ton of meaningful, competitive, hard game minutes with the guys who'll be stood left and right of him. And that's a really difficult position to throw a young guy into.
You could actually just could have stopped that sentence at hard minutes.
Yeah, that too.
You know, like, he has played this season 4 times at 12 in the ERC, 4 times at 10. In the URC, you know, it's and as much as the URC is improving, especially with the South African sides in it, the games he was playing weren't those games. those tougher games. So
it's kind of the opposite of the old football analogy, you know, oh, can you do it away in Birmingham on a cold Tuesday night? It's like, it doesn't matter if you can do it away against the Newport Gwent Dragons on a Friday in the middle of October. Like, can you beat a team who are trying to put you in the ground properly in a competitive game that matters?
Yeah, I think...
Sorry to any Dragons fans out there.
And I think that's why Ross Byrne isn't going to see a squad anytime soon. Like, I think as much as he has a talent for moving his teams around the field and being a very steady 10, anytime he's come against a rush defense, be it at club level or international level, he hasn't stood up to that challenge.
We have learned everything we are going to learn about Ross Byrne. And the biggest thing we have learned is he's not going to be an international player.
No. And look, and that's not to say he's not going to be a very good club player for the rest of his career either.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing wrong with that either. And there is nothing wrong with that. But outside of a good result for Ireland, what are the things we actually need to see? I will take my 100 minutes for Johnny Sexton as being a bit facetious and make it 150. Make him so he plays 50 minutes in each of the three matches, minimum,
yep,
as a max. Outside of that, what do we need to see from Ireland?
I think we need to see whether James Ryan is going to recapture some of his international form. I think we need to see what happens with our front row. You know, we know Andrew Porter, Ronan Kelleher, and Tyke Furlong is our starting front row for the World Cup. Do we know who our second front row is? You know, does anybody want to really take a, you know, stamp their name on the 16, 17, or 18 jerseys? I think there's a real opportunity to learn that.
Well, for me, I'd like to see Porter to not give away as many penalties this series. He needs three games without refs kind of focusing on him, and he will start to build a reputation of being the weak link in our scrum. Even if he is or isn't, if he gets that reputation, it's going to take another 10 games to get rid of it. And this is a series where he has to put that to bed. That's the big one for the front row. Like, personally, I would have left Healy at home. That guy, if he's going to the World Cup, needs to be wrapped in cotton wool and gone completely experimental at loosehead, because we just need to bring on backups and more options there.
Yeah, but, I mean, I just don't think there's anybody else who you trust to have on the bench against the All Blacks right now.
But the thing is, Leinster don't trust him to come on against La Rochelle or the Bulls. This is the problem. Like, it's the old adage of, we have guys who aren't being trusted at club level, being trusted at international level. And I don't mind that, as like, these guys are getting trusted at international because they're doing a job when they come on for 20, 15 minutes. But when they're being trusted to come off the bench for more than 5 to 10, that's a problem.
Nope, point made. We could talk all day about how, you know, the prop depth chart is a problem. The other one for me is, you know, Mac Hansen can absolutely sew his name into every number 11 jersey if he outperforms James Lowe on this tour, because I don't think that's a horses for courses thing. I think that's Mac Hansen has the potential, from what he's shown, could be just an objectively better rugby player.
The fact he's played rugby at 10 and 15 will help. He's got that kind of, he's got that great game awareness of where to be in the line, where to pop up an attack. The amount of times I saw him in the Six Nations kind of going, just jogging these training lines, going, I'm just waiting for the right opportunity to kick into gear. And the amount of times you see him in between pods of like, why is he there? And suddenly the next phase, like, all right, that's why he was there. Gotcha. He doesn't have to work, and he just adds this extra body that holds a defensive line in check. I'd worry about him defensively a small bit. His tackling is very good. It'd be very rare he misses a tackle. I know people like to bring up that sidestep against Leinster the whole time, but like,
when that's okay though, because James Lowe has never had any defensive errors in his entire time playing at rugby.
Never. Yeah. But yeah, I think the back three options could solidify their places, because the next best guys are all injured, if I'm being perfectly honest. And that's kind of it. The biggest challenge for the back three guys are the people that are injured around them.
I think the biggest impact on the back three selection for this tour is, but having said that, to me, Hugo Keenan will start any game that he's fit for Ireland. Keith Earls, it's a question of, can he sustain the type of game intelligence that puts him top of his positional depth chart, or is he just going to be outplayed by the likes of Rob Balakoon or Jacob Stockdale playing over on that side. I don't know. Time will tell. But for me, you've still got one of the starting left wingers there. It's just a case of whether it's Hansen or Lowe.
Lowe's, if you have Robert Balakoon's breakneck speed on one wing, you can have Hansen on the other. I know Lowe's not the fastest guy in the world.
Do you know who else knows he's not the fastest guy in the world?
Who?
Darren Sweetnam. Hunting him down like Terminator. It's unbelievable. I'd say James Lowe still occasionally looks over his shoulder expecting to see Darren Sweetnam coming after him. Every Munster fan has it burned into their memory for the rest of time.
It's the most Munster thing to be burnt into your memory. A great tackle.
Yeah, I can't. And that's the mad thing. I can't remember if we won that game. I think we did, but I remember the tackle more than I remember the result.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think what we need to learn from it is it's all about that squad depth, but it's also, you know, that stuff I mentioned around quick turnaround for the bench players, how to manage a squad of that type of size under the type of pressure conditions and quick turnaround that you'll see in a Rugby World Cup. And just whether the side mentally has got the ability to bounce back from a really, really tough end of season for everybody on that plane.
Yeah,
everybody on that plane lost a final or a quarter final or a semi final at the end of the year, right? I mean,
every one of the provinces has lost a knockout game. Like the Connacht guys got knocked out to Leinster by Leinster. Yep. You know, Leinster lost their semi final. Munster lost their game. Ulster lost their semi final and round of 16 or quarter final. You know, like these guys have all taken a beating mentally. How can they bounce back and then bounce back in a team in a different system of all those different like variables? Is that the refresher they need to kind of up their performance?
And we'll see in a little over a week.
We will see in a couple of weeks. So everyone who's listened this far, share the podcast. Just do it right now. Just if you've got this far, hit share. You've listened for this long. Like, so share it. Tell everyone how great or crap we are. Actually, if you tell people how crap we are, apparently that's better for algorithms. So do that. Like, it doesn't really bother me. Just share it. But we will be back at the end once I think we might come on live. If you're not at the final test, we'll literally go live after that third test and just talk about the game.
Of course I'm at the final test. I've got a busy month ahead. My dad is flying down from Ireland to New Zealand, so he gets in next week, and it's pretty cool. So that we're going to all three of the tests, which is going to be amazing. I've got pretty visible seats for test 2 and 3, so keep an eye out. You might see me yet.
And well, because you're in New Zealand, you will be wearing an All Blacks top. Yeah, that is how you roll.
No, I will be wearing green. Don't worry about that.
But, it will be a Munster jersey. That's something, you know.
Look, small steps, Park. Small steps. I'm getting over to the Mary game, as I said. So gonna get to 4 of the 5 games, and unfortunately won't make the second Mary Ireland side. But really looking forward to seeing the Irish team out there and hopefully seeing some good results.
No, it should be a good atmosphere. I am incredibly jealous that you're going to be amongst all of that, get many selfies with many players, all those type of things. You know, like run down to the front. I'm sure you'll be near enough there at some point. But no, it's going to be great. We'll be back the day after that final test. We'll talk about the full thing and we'll see how good or bad our wish list went by then. So
we'll know a lot more then than we do now.
I will talk to you in the meantime, but for everyone else listening, take care, and you will hear from us again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, everyone. And thanks, Bart. Good to chat, and come on, Ireland.